Well, thank you, Carolyn, and good morning, Trinity family and friends. Man, it is so good to be in worship with you today. Typically, I would say, over the last several weeks, I would say I would give you a warm welcome on the other side of the camera, and then I would give a warm welcome to those who are in the room. Well, there aren't any people in the room this morning because we've had to adapt once again because of the rising cases, the rising COVID cases. And so we are kind of doing what we did prior to inviting people to come back to the building. And again, this is about how do we love people well? How do we love the people of Trinity well? And I hope you know, Trinity Church, that we do love you. We love you probably beyond what you know and realize. And one of the things that we have, we are shepherds. We are supposed to shepherd the flock well. And we, again, after discerning, made that decision to make that that move once again to not have people in terms of congregation in the building. And again, everyone who's worshiping, who's serving on team this week, they're in the building, but in separate pods. We're trying to follow the orders as closely as we possibly can, and we pray that you would do the same, not only now, but even as you approach the holiday season. Now, again, I just wanted to let you know that, just so you are aware. Now, last week we started a series. It's a short series, but again, this series is designed just to whet the appetite, and it is we're talking about kingdom economics. We're talking about how do we, as followers of Jesus, who are disciples of Jesus, those who follow Jesus, those who are being changed and transformed by Jesus, and those who are committed to the mission of Jesus, how do we let Jesus lead the way in terms of our resources? Remember we said Jesus talked more about money than almost any other subject in the Gospels, because he knew that wherever our treasure was, that's where our heart would be. And so Jesus said, hey, let me disciple you in terms of your finances. Let me lead you in terms of the resources that I've provided for you. And so we said the beginning of that is we have to shift our thinking. And again, if we're to practice kingdom economics in a way that honors God and blesses others, we really do have to shift our mindset. We said we have to shift our mind from a mindset from his or from mine to his. It all belongs to God. From owner to steward, he's giving this tool called money. He's placed it in my hands and yours for us to manage it well. And then we said this is another shifting from wants to needs. Typically, we get into debt because we place wants before needs. And then we said, hey, another shift that has to take place is from moving from consumption to contentment. So that was really the 30,000-foot view of the principles behind kingdom economics. Now, today we're going to get very, very practical, and it's going to be almost embarrassingly practical. For some who are listening, you're saying, or watching, you're saying, already know that, and I get it. I understand that. But there are some who may not. So here are the learning objectives for this morning. The first, again, after this message, you and I should be able to ask at least three questions that will help us practice kingdom economics. Secondly, to get the facts about where we are financially. It's very, very important to know where we are. Number three, know the importance of having a financial plan. Again, this is about discipleship. This is not a financial course. This is about following Jesus with our finances. And then number four, determine what are some of your financial priorities. Again, this is, again, very, very significant if we're to practice the kind of kingdom economics that God wants us to. So we are all somewhere on a financial continuum. We are all on a road, and we have to begin asking ourselves, what road am I on? Because the road that you and I are on, it's actually leading somewhere. And so the sooner we know where we are, the better it will be. So again, when we talk about this particular subject, it is finding yourself and finding myself on the continuum, because God wants to take us someplace financially. He wants us to love Him and love others with our finances, but that can't happen unless we know where we are. Now, listen, I understand that talking about finances, it can be very intimate and it can be a volatile topic. In fact, we counsel people all the time, and one of the major issues of argument and frustration and communication breakdown is dealing with finances. And yet it is one of the most important topics that any couple or any single follower of Jesus can get a handle on. Now, it's one thing to relate to one another, and that's perfectly, we need to do that. But we also need to relate to finances and relate to finances very well. So how do we begin to manage our money so that it brings glory to God and it actually blesses others? Again, the context is discipleship. We have, again, we're talking about what it means to follow Jesus. So I'm going to give you three questions that will help you and I find out where we are. So I'm going to give you the first question, then we're going to kind of do a brief assessment, kind of give you a checklist, and then we'll go to the second question. So the first question is this. The first question is, where am I? Where am I? Have you ever been in a mall or been in you've gone to Disney or you've gone to some other place and there's a sign that says you are here? And it has an arrow pointing to where you are. It kind of gives you your bearings so you'll know where to go next and are you on the right path to get to where you desire to go? You are here. So the first question is where am I? Where am I? Don't you know that sometimes, I know for me, there are times where I've spent money and I wonder, where did it go? Like really asking the question, how did I get here? And it's, I got there because I really wasn't paying attention to what God had placed in my trust. So here's a passage that gives us the principle behind asking, where am I? And this is Proverbs 27, verses 23 and 24. It says, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds, for riches do not last forever. And does a crown endure to all generation? So what the proverb is saying here is he's using agricultural language to give us and to help us understand the reality and the importance of understanding where we are financially. So the writer of Proverbs says, Know where you are agriculturally. Are your flocks doing okay? Is one of them sick, or is all of them kind of in a toxic environment? Know the condition of your flock. And then he says, riches don't last always. The reason why it's important to know the condition of your flock is because life happens. 2000, the crash of the real estate market happens. 9/11 happens. In other words, what the proverb is saying is that life and circumstances change. And if you don't know the condition of your finances, you can actually end up in a pretty, pretty bad place. So understand where we are financially is a significant principle to practicing kingdom economics. Now, in order for us to know where we are, I want you to get out your piece of paper that Carolyn talked about, and I'm going to give you a four a four-question checklist. A four-question checklist. Actually, it's probably more questions, but it's basically in four categories. So the proverb says, know the condition of your flock. And as a disciple and as a kingdom steward, you and I ought to know the condition of our finances. And there are basically four categorical questions that actually help us to take an assessment of where we are financially. All right? So here's the first question. How much do I own? Now, this is a question about assets. That is, how much is in savings? How much is in checking? How much, this has to do with your house. Again, your house is an appreciable asset. And so how much do I own? And this has to do with 401ks and 403bs and trust, those kinds of things. It has to do with your, God has allowed you to, he's put this on loan to you, but it's in your trust. So how much do I own? You want to begin to assess that, make a list of the things that you own. And that could be from not only your house, but other kinds of things in your trust. Here's a second question. And this is gonna probably put a pit in our stomachs, right? How much do I owe? So we are talking about how much debt do you and I have? Now you can't write beside how much do I owe. I owe a lot. I owe a ton. That is no. We're not talking about a general owing. We're talking about specifically writing down how much you owe, whether that is to consumer debt, credit cards. I know there are people who are listening to me right now. You have credit card debt. That means your house, how much do you owe? That means your car, how much do you owe? Again, we're talking about where we are. How much do I own? And then how much do I owe? Now, I know that when you look at that number, you're going to want to get a garbage can and hurl. I understand that. But we have to know where we are in order to move to where God wants to take us, no matter how much it hurts. Tanya and I, we assess these things. We're looking at this even ourselves. How much do we owe on our house? How much, we had this conversation yesterday. How much do we owe on cars? And again, this is about making the assessments. One of the things that we found out as a family that when Tanya and I were first married, we argued all the time about money. And again, it was because I was spending a lot. She was more of the saver. I was the one that was spending. And we argued and had discussions all the time about money. But the interesting thing happened when we decided to actually get a handle on our finances so that we could actually bring glory to God and be able to bless others, we were able to have really, really good conversations about our resources, about our finances. And it actually brought us closer together. It brought us closer together. So how much do you owe? Here's the third one. How much do I make? You can't put beside not enough. I need to talk to my boss. I understand that. Now listen, how much do you make? Again, where you are right now, and this is on a monthly basis, how much money is coming into your house? Again, how much do you make? Now, I understand there's some people listening to me right now. You know, maybe you're on furlough and you are in a difficult position. And again, my heart hears that. Again, whatever resources you have coming into the house, that is the, you want to at least understand exactly what you're making on a monthly basis. Again, we're talking about understanding the condition of your flock, understanding the condition of your finances. All right, here's the fourth one. I'm preparing you, all right? How much do I spend? That's a bit. We're talking about literally every dollar that goes out of your house. That includes Starbucks and Big B. That includes the midnight run at Meijer for potato chips and popcorn and ice cream. Listen, I have lived it. I know what you're feeling. Yes, you wanna track what you're spending. If you spend more than you make, yes, you will go into debt. And you will become a slave, and you'll become a slave to debt and not to the one who's a good master. That is our Father. All right, so we're going to press pause right here, and I want you to assess where you are. I want you to assess where you are. Again, this is just the beginning. There's no way we can do all of this in one message, and there's no way you can do it in 5 minutes. I just want you to be able to write the categories down, and not only write the categories, how much do I own, how much do I owe, how much do I make, and how much do I spend? How much do I own, how much do I owe, how much do I make, and how much do I spend? When you look at this list, it can be daunting. And not only that, it can be convicting. And Satan will try to cause you to feel shame and condemnation. The key is knowing what road you're on, and then being able to get off that road and get on another road. Now, one of the things that we've supplied for you, you can go to info. You can go to wearetrinity.com, and there's a budget sheet that we have put there for you to begin to make that assessment of what you own, what you owe, what you make, and what you spend. Now, again, I want you to at least, if you're feeling the tug of the Spirit of God, I want to cover this time, at the end of this first segment of this message, I want to cover this time with prayer for you and for me. And for right now, making a decision to say, I am, no matter how much it hurts, I am going to know the condition of my flocks. In other words, I'm going to know the condition of my finances. And so I want to press pause just for a moment. As you make your assessment, I want to pray for you in this moment. And then we're going to dive into the second part, all right? So, Father, thank you for blessing us with things that you've placed in our trust, our houses, our cars, our retirement. And right now, God, in this moment, we pray you would give us the courage to assess what we own, assess what we owe. And there are some people right now, God, there, tears flowing down their eyes saying, I owe so much. And there is no way I'll be able to get out of this hole. And yet we know, God, you are the one who changes hearts. And there are others who right now, they're assessing what they make. And they are thanking you for the jobs they have. And they are thanking you for not only the one or the two jobs. And they're saying, I don't want to be in debt. And so I need to make a little bit more so that I can be free, to be an instrument in the hand of God. And so, Father, I pray right now that those who say, I'm not making enough, I pray right now, God, that you would meet them in this moment And you would help them to see that you have given them a trust. And then those who are looking at their spending habits and knowing that every spending decision is a spiritual decision, we pray now for all of us, God, that we would spend our money to your glory and to your honor. And we would spend our money in such a way that it is screaming that I am paying attention to my flocks in such a way that brings glory to God. So we pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. So the first question is, where am I? Where am I? So here's the second question that you and I must ask, and this is, what is my plan? What is my plan? Now, if you and I are to get off the road where we are going down a destination of poverty, and what I mean by that is we have more debt than we have money coming in. And so the question is, what is my plan to get out of debt? What is my plan to be a kingdom steward? What is my plan to use and manage my money in such a way that it shows that I love God and I'm ready at the drop of a hat to be able to bless people? Again, remember, the context of this is discipleship. And what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. A disciple is someone who is being transformed by Jesus. And a disciple is someone who is committed to the mission of Jesus. And the way we relate to money helps to determine how well we follow Jesus, how much we're going to be changed by him, and how committed we're going to be to the mission of Jesus. And so, what is my plan? What is my plan? So again, the principle is based on what we earn and based on how much we have, we need to decide then where should our money go? Where should our money go? This is another kingdom principle, is tell your money where to go. I love what Dave Ramsey says. Dave Ramsey says this: tell your money where to go so you don't ever have to wonder where it went. I love that. Tell your money where to go so you don't ever have to wonder where it went. So in other words, every single dollar that comes into your house should have a home. Now, again, this is what Dave Ramsey calls zero-based budgeting. In other words, you are spending all of your money on paper, and you are telling your money where to go. You're giving every single dollar a home. This is what we call this, and again, this is a bad word, right, for some people, budgeting. I remember when I first heard the word budget, I felt like, man, this is restrictive, and it doesn't allow me to do what I want to do with my money. And then a counselor told me, now you're getting the point, Marvin. You're getting the point, because it is not yours in the beginning. This is God's money, and a budget, here it is, check this out. A budget is, money is God's tool for you that he's placed in our hands. And a budget is how to keep track of God's tool. That's all a budget is how to keep track of God's tool. And this is about, budget is about planning ahead. It's about planning ahead. Here's the verse. This is Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Here's another version or another translation, same verse, but I like the way this translation puts it. If you could put it up, good planning and hard work leads to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. And here is here's another translation of the Message. I love this one as well. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Now, we're in the season, right? We're in the season, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Some right now are saying, whoa, like you'll get to 2 weeks before Christmas and you'll say, whoa, wait a minute, I don't have enough money. I didn't plan ahead. And what we end up doing, we end up putting Christmas on the credit card. So budgeting is about planning ahead. Guess what? Guess what? Here's a hot take. Christmas comes every year. Here's another one. Birthdays come every year. And guess what? If you plan ahead, you'll have cash on hand to actually make the purchases. This is what Tanya and I, we've done this probably for the last, I'm guessing the last 15 years. We have Dave Ramsey envelopes. And when we get paid, we put cash in envelopes, from gas money to grocery to literally when our kids were in high school, we have an envelope, we don't have it anymore, but we had an envelope that said senior support. We started saving for our kids senior year ahead of time, because you as parents, you know that the senior year of a high schooler, it is like you, it almost feels like you need to take out another mortgage, because you got yearbooks and you got prom and you got homecoming and you have graduation and you have all of these things. And Tanya and I said, we made a decision that we're going to put money in an envelope ahead, cash, so that when that time came, we'll be able to support, we'll be able to have it right away. All right. So again, careful planning is important. Here's another verse. Proverbs 13 and 16. It says, every prudent man acts with knowledge. Every wise man acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. Here's another version of that. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't. And even brag about their foolishness. Have you ever seen a fool brag about the bad decision that they just made? This is what the proverb is saying. So here are some budget basics. Try to say that five times really fast. Plan your spending away from spending. So you can't make a budget while you're spending your money. It is before you spend, sit down. If you're married, sit down with your spouse and say, let's create a budget on how we're going to spend our money over the next month. Again, plan your spending before. If you're single, plan your spending away from spending. Number two, I've already said this. Every dollar should have a home. Every dollar should have a home. So you're spending all of your money on paper. All right? And then number three, track everything the first couple of months. And the reason you want to track this is because it will give you an accurate assessment of what you're spending, what's coming in. And if you do that on maybe 2 to 3 months, Tanya and I did this 2 to 3 months, and we just tracked our spending, we tracked our habits, literally everything that came in, everything that went out, and it gave us an accurate assessment of where we were. Now, again, when after 3 months, we looked and we said, we can't believe how much money we're spending eating out. That was like, whoa. Like here and there, hey, stop at McDonald's here, stop at Wendy's there, stop at Burger King there. And that little bit adds up, literally adds up. And so we found ourselves saying 2 to 3 months, and it's restrictive, yes, and it's painstaking, yes. But once you get on the other side, there's freedom. There's freedom. And then the other one, the last principle is extra and unexpected money should have a home as well. So when you get extra money, whether it's your income tax check or whatever, it's like, oh, I can splurge. Now, again, there's room and space in a budget to pay yourself and for you to splurge, but not splurging the whole thing. All right? So every dollar should have a home. Even the extra unexpected money that comes in should have a home. So, all right, that's the end of segment two. So we're going to do the Mentimeter question. We're going to put up the results of what you said. Like, man, I really could use coaching in this area. So let's look at the Mentimeter results. Wow. Okay. So we see that there is, across the board, there's this sense of, man, I need assistance and help in this area. Budgeting my money, yes. We all need that. Again, I wasn't raised that way. And so I needed someone to actually coach me and help me to do that. And it seemed kind of awkward at first because it felt so intimate. You know the inner workings of my finances. You see all of my junk. You see all of my spending habits. You see all of my frivolous kind of spending. And yet, it was that awkward moment that actually helped me. And then curbing my spending. Again, we have a group of people say, like, I need just help in curbing my spending. That's thank you for your honesty and thank you for your transparency. Paying off my debt. There's a number of people said, listen, I raised my hand, man, I need help in that area. And then prioritizing God and others. That is putting God first and putting others in my generosity orbit. So thank you. We're gonna in over the next several weeks, we're going to actually help you. To know how to do those things. We have a couple of things planned that we're gonna put together a challenge. A 5-day challenge. And then in the new year, we're going to actually do a class to help you work through those things that you mentioned in the Mentimeter question. Then finally, here's the last principle. Last question. What are my priorities? What are my priorities? What are my priorities? What are my financial priorities? Again, the Bible teaches us that we should prioritize our money in a certain way. And the first priority that we should have is God first. Is God first. That He's given us the ability to create wealth. He's given us the ability to own or trust. He's trusted this in our hands. And part of our responsibility is to give back to God first. Now, again, I know some of you say, well, Marvin, I'm not in a position to do that right now. I'm not in a position to give very much at all. I totally understand that. And on the flip side of it is, for some, the reason why our finances are so out of whack is because we've forgotten God. Now, there are people who say, okay, man, I'll start at 2%, 3% of what I make and I'll give it back to God. I'll release it and recirculate it into the kingdom of God. So if you're at 2%, 3%, say, okay, how do I get to 4%, 5%, 6%? And the principle of the New Testament is just this extravagant generosity to the work of God. Not only to the work of God, but also generous to others. Again, the principle of our finances actually follow the principle of loving God and loving others. So here's a verse, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. This is what it says, if among you, one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Now, this verse is based on how God generously blessed the Israelites. And God says, because I have blessed you, I want you first to bless me, give back to me, and then I want you to be able to be in a position to bless others. The reality is sometimes we're so in debt that we can't do that. And that's the reason we're doing this series, is so that you can be a kingdom steward, to love God with your money and to love others with your money. The reality is this, and the verse says it, we cannot serve God and money at the same time. Here's the verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is what it says. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And one of the reasons we give back to God first, to show him and us that God is first in my life, that God is my number one priority. And we only know what we believe, remember, by what we do. Now, this is not an ask for money. Please hear me. This is us giving a gift to you to say, how I want to be equipped so that I can be a kingdom steward. And here's the last verse. It says, keep your life from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So keep your life free. Again, remember 1 Timothy talked about from the love of money, where it is your life. Keep your life free from the love of money. And it says, be content with what you have. Like where you are right now, be content. Now, this doesn't mean that if you want a better job, you can't get a better job. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean if you say, man, I need to make more money in order to get out of debt so that I can be a better kingdom steward. It doesn't mean that at all. I think God wants us to use our skills and our ability and to get paid for what we're worth. I believe that. And yet, on the other hand, there's a level of how much will ever be enough. And God says, I want you to love me more than you love money. And when you're content with me, guess what? I will bless you. I will take care of you. I will be generous to you. And that job, that new job that you're going after, listen, I know the desires of your heart. Because you've loved me, I'll give you that. So God says, listen, I want you to trust me with your life. So the three questions, where am I? That's the first question. What's my plan? And then what are my priorities? What are my financial priorities? Begin to jot down what are some of your priorities. God first, being generous to others, and then say, you know something? We're going to start paying down debt right now. We're going to put money in our children's college fund. We're going to do a better job with retirement. And we're going to have part of our budget designated for simply blessing others. Because God has been good to us, we want to be generous to others. Listen, friends, this is not about getting in your business. Actually, it kind of is, but not me, but God. And because ultimately, God wants us to be kingdom stewards, where we place all of our lives under his leadership, but in this case, particularly our finances. And God says, when you bless me and bless others with your finances, man, I will not only give you contentment, but I will bless you with some of your wants as well. Now, this is not about health and wealth and that sort of thing, but we serve a God who loves his people, and he wants to bless his people in some unique and powerful ways. All right, so that's it. That's all. That's what I have. I hope it was practical, and we're going to try to give you some more information down the road to help you become a better kingdom steward. Hey, Carolyn Kriegel Kirsten. What'd you think? Was that practical
enough? It was, Marvin. And I think people in the chat are saying it, and I agree. So timely. When I think of just the impact that our finances have on so much of our life, our Absolutely. Mental health, our marriages, so much of our relationships. And especially heading into this Christmas time, like your point, I wrote it down, of plan your spending away from spending. I just have asked all my kids for their Christmas lists. And part of me wants to just like hop right online and start buying and buying. But I thought, nope, before I start spending, I really do, especially this year, need to make a plan of what that looks like. With two kids in college, the expenses are...
Tell me about it. Yeah. Listen, I have four in college.
That is frightening. But it's something to take seriously. So whether you're doing the broad financial budgeting or if it's specifically looking at your Christmas spending, as Marvin said, we're not trying to boss you around, but it will bring you great freedom in all parts of your life.
Absolutely.
When you have this focus and bring that under control or have a plan. So thank you, friends, for being with us. Not only will you want to check info.weareeternity.com for those budget worksheets, but you can also remember the Christmas serve. What an opportunity to give back. I saw also somebody in the chat mentioned, you know, our resources are not just money, but it's also our time. And that's exactly right. You may feel like I'm not in a position to be financially generous this year, but you do have time. You do have physical strength and energy. So ask God, what needs to be done? How can I come alongside somebody else this season? And let us know what you're doing. That would be totally awesome. And also in the chat on the live platform, Ray and Kay Wright shared about a friend, Mike, who had a ruptured aorta and undergoing emergency surgery. Thank you, friends, for how you prayed in the moment. And let's all continue to pray for Mike and his wife, Mary, who's obviously very concerned, very heartbroken about what is happening. And Kay is great at posting in our all church group, so I'm certain that she will give us updates as she has those. Continue to pray for them and seek the Lord as to what He would have you give, serve, and give your finances to Him this season. Have an awesome week, friends. Happy Thanksgiving. We love you. Bye-bye.